We have been studying the Heidelberg Catechism, and we are using it as a guide to cover key doctrines of the Bible. We are now in Lord's Day 17, which is about the Article 5 of the Apostles' Creed. The third day He rose again from the dead. In other words, Lord's Day 17 speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you recall, the last two Lord's Days deal with Article 4 of the Apostles' Creed, which is about the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The messages that we had on this article are timely as we enter the Passion Week season, which culminates in Easter, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Really, we can say that the resurrection of Jesus is proof that His Father has accepted His payment for all our sins. His resurrection serves as God's receipt, confirming that He has received the payment of His Son on our behalf. Now remember, we are sinners, and the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty of sin, death. We must pay God. The payment is death. And yet Jesus paid that payment, that penalty. He died. And when He rose from the dead, it was like God's receipt, confirming that He had received the payment, that His Son really satisfied His justice, His demand. Now, this morning we will consider Lord's Day 17, which talks about the three benefits of Christ's resurrection. Let's read that Lord's Day 17, page 45 in the back of our Psalter, page 45. How does Christ's resurrection benefit us? First, by His resurrection, He has overcome death so that He could make us share in the righteousness which He had obtained for us by His death. Second, by His power, we too are raised up to a new life. And third, Christ's resurrection is to us a sure pledge of our glorious resurrection. Now, for the sake of time, in this message, we will only focus on the third benefit, using Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 as our text, which is, by the way, one of the scripture passages given to support the claim that Christ's resurrection is to us a sure pledge of our glorious resurrection. I don't know if you see that underneath in the footnote, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, let's read the text. For our conversation, so I'm now reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy, precious word and apply it to our hearts. As we study this passage, we have two thoughts to consider. First, our citizenship, and then second, our comfort. So first of all, let's look at our citizenship. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he received a glorified body. And our catechism says, Christ's resurrection is to us a sure pledge of our own glorious, blessed resurrection. In other words, because Jesus rose from the dead and received a glorified body, we too who are in Christ will be raised from the dead and receive glorified bodies. Now, according to our scripture text, who are guaranteed to experience this glorious resurrection and transformation of the body? Look at verse 20, please. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. Now, there is a better rendition for this verse because the word conversation in Greek can be best translated as citizenship. And so you can read verse 20 this way, for our citizenship is in heaven. And that's what you have in the English Standard Version. For our citizenship is in heaven. That is to say, we believers in Christ belong to heaven. So, who are guaranteed to experience this glorious resurrection and transformation of the body? Those who are citizens of heaven. And if you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. And that's why if someone asks you this... citizenship, or where is your citizenship? You can answer that question with the following words. My citizenship is in heaven. I have a heavenly citizenship. We are only pilgrims here on earth. We're all foreigners in this world. Equally foreigners as believers in Christ. Boys and girls, you may recall this song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And how true that is. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. As you may know, before coming to Canada, my original plan was to set up a Reformed seminary in the Philippines. For years, as my wife and I were preparing for our move to the Philippines, we would not buy anything that we knew we could not take with us to the Philippines. We would even hesitate to renovate one of the bedrooms of our children or even buy them a new bed. We would hesitate, or we would not buy a new car. And we would often say, well, we are only here in the U.S. temporarily. Well, we are now in Canada, but really, that principle remains the same, spiritually speaking. that we are only here in this world, here in Canada, temporarily. If you are a believer in Christ, this is not your home. This world is not our home, because we are citizens of heaven. And as such, we owe our patriotism to heaven, to our God. You see, when you stood here making a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, you made a pledge of allegiance to God. You made a promise of loyalty to God, a solemn vow to be faithful to Him. To be faithful to Him. As you know, I was born and raised in the Philippines. And because I was born in the Philippines, I automatically became a Filipino citizen until I became a U.S. citizen in 2015 when I took an oath of allegiance to the United States of America. And so my allegiance, my loyalty is now to the United States of America, no longer to the Philippines. Now, think about this. By nature, we are born in this world. We are born in sin. Remember what David says in Psalm 51 verse 5? Behold, I was shapen, or I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. By nature, we were conceived in sin, born in sin, and therefore we are born in this world, not in heaven. According to Canadian immigration experts, if a child is born in Canada, the child receives Canadian citizenship status, even in a situation when a child is born to parents who are not Canadian citizens. The child automatically becomes a Canadian citizen. If you are born here, automatically you become a Canadian citizen. Now, because you were born in sin, not in righteousness, automatically you became a citizen of this world, not of heaven. Not of heaven. And by the way, there are only two citizenships in this world. One here in this world and the other one in heaven. There is no such thing as in between. And the Bible says, our text says, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. Now, by the way, how did it happen? How did it happen? If by nature we are born in this world because we are born in sin, how did we become citizens of heaven? We believers in Christ. Well, you may be aware of the term naturalization. Naturalization. Which means, or according to immigration experts, it's the act of making someone a legal citizen of a country that they were not born in. Maybe some of you are citizens of Canada by naturalization because you were not born here in Canada, but you received that legal status. You are now legally citizens of Canada. Now, the same can be done to sinners such as we are. Yes, we are citizens of this world by nature because of our sin. But by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we can be citizens of heaven.
Ephesians 2 verse 5 says that the Holy Spirit made us alive together with Christ. The Holy Spirit quickened our dead souls. The Holy Spirit caused us to be born again. And so we were born in heaven in that sense. And so we availed that citizenship in heaven because of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in us. We have been born again. And of course, you can also avail this citizenship by spiritual adoption. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority or right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And listen now what it says in verse 13. "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of the Holy Spirit. And so when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive that right, that legal right to be called a son or daughter of God. You become part of God's family. You avail that heavenly citizenship. And as citizens of heaven, we are called to be loyal and faithful to our God, to our King. God's word is our constitution for Christian living. Yes, here in Canada, we have our own constitution. But let us not forget that we don't abide by worldly constitution, especially when that constitution demands us to do something that will cause us to sin. Because our loyalty at the end of the day is not to our constitution here on earth, but to the constitution of God, the Bible. And so we say if someone will force us, "You need to stop worshiping God. You need to stop praying to your God. You need to stop believing in your God. You must recant your faith in Christ." And we can say, "I disagree. With all respect. Because my loyalty is to this book. This is my constitution. And I must live by it." We have to uphold God's word. And this is our holy obligation. Now, you need to understand the historical context of our text in Philippians chapter 3. At this time, Philippi was a colony of Rome. So the Philippian believers were Roman citizens by virtue of their residence in Philippi. And during this time, to be a Roman citizen was a source of pride. It came with a lot of privileges. A lot of privileges. Now, we know a lot of people would like to come to Canada, would like to come to the U.S. to experience the privileges that we have. People have that pride. "I am a Canadian citizen. I am a U.S. citizen." Especially if you come from a very extremely poor country where there is no justice. Places, for instance, in Asia or in Africa where you see extreme poverty. They want to avail that citizenship here to experience all the privileges. You see, the Philippian believers, because Philippi was a colony of Rome, automatically they are citizens of Rome. And they can boast about it. And of course, there's that pressure to live, to abide by the rules set by the emperor, by the Roman emperor. And so Paul is saying to them, "Listen, I understand, Philippian believers, that you are Roman citizens. But don't forget that your citizenship is in heaven. And therefore, you must live according to the constitution of God, according to God's word. You need to conduct yourselves not according to the pagan principles of the Romans, but according to holy principles of God. You see, as citizens of heaven, we are expected to serve God and God alone. As citizens of heaven, we are expected to fight for God's cause, to fight for His kingdom. It's like, if you are a citizen of Canada, should there be a war, if a country attacks this country, you will fight. You made that promise. You made that pledge once you became a citizen of Canada that you would fight for this nation. And the same is true once you became a believer in Christ. You became a citizen of heaven. You also made that pledge to fight for God's kingdom, to spread His kingdom. You see, we cannot have a dual citizenship as Christians. I'm now talking spiritually here. Yes, you can have a dual citizenship here on earth. You are probably a Canadian citizen and maybe a Filipino or a Dutch or Cuban still citizen or Mexican citizen. It's possible to have that dual citizenship, but not in the spiritual realm. You cannot say, well, yes, I am a citizen of heaven, but I still love this world. I'm not willing to give up my worldly citizenship. No, you cannot do that. You cannot have a dual citizenship. As the Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. You cannot serve two nations, as it were, two kingdoms. God's kingdom, of which you are a citizen, and this kingdom, the kingdom of this world, where Satan rules. Yes, I understand. It's not easy. There's that struggle. And that's why we Christians, let's not expect to have an easy life here on earth. Because think about this. We are citizens of heaven. We are supposed to be there, living there, but we are still here in this world. There's that constant struggle. And it's not that easy to give up your old lifestyle. Even in my own experience, having lived in the Philippines for 20 plus years and then migrated to the U.S., it was not easy. It was not easy to even give up your old citizenship. I remember that hurt me. That suddenly you are no longer a citizen of the Philippines. Now your loyalty is now to this new nation. And you understand too in a spiritual context. Before probably you became a believer in Christ, you had these vices in life. This petty sin that you really loved. You treasured this sin. And now as a believer in Christ, God is calling you to give up that vice in your life. It's not easy. I remember one of my uncles, I think the occasion was my mother-in-law's funeral. He came from the Netherlands, one of my uncles. He was born there. He grew up in the Netherlands. He came to the U.S. for just a few days. And then he said to me, I said, my jaw hurts. I said, why? Just to speak English. Because I've been so used to speaking in Dutch. And so for me to just speak in English, it hurts my jaw.
I'm not used to that.
Spiritually speaking, you might feel that. It hurts. It's not easy to live a Christian life. You need to make an effort. You need to make an effort. Now, many of us migrated to this beautiful country of Canada from all over the places. Some of you came from the Netherlands. You were born there. And you were so used to speaking in Dutch. And then suddenly you migrated here. Now, you can still speak your language, your first language, but of course you want to speak the new language now, the language of this nation. Your citizenship is now here. So you want to make that effort. And yet, you still have that accent, right? And that accent may not disappear. You may have that accent for the rest of your life. And we can liken that accent to our indwelling or remaining sin. When we became Christians, it doesn't mean that all our sins were gone. Was, yes, forgiven, but we still have what the Bible calls remaining sin, that flesh. Paul knows about that very well. He struggles with that flesh, that indwelling, that remaining, not reigning. Sin does not reign over us anymore. We're no longer under the power, control of sin. Nevertheless, we still have that remaining sin, that indwelling sin. And that indwelling sin will stay there until you die or until Jesus returns. Same with your accent. I have my own accent. If you were not born here, you have your own accent. And you really want to give your best. You want to get rid of that accent. But it will stay until you die or until Jesus returns. Same with our remaining sin. Nevertheless, there is this radical call to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Colossians 3 verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are not on earth, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul says, put it to death. The remaining sin, all the remaining sins in inside you, put them to death. Don't feed them. Starve them to death. Don't give them the opportunity to grow. Kill them. Kill them. Mortify them. Because we are now citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we are entitled to privileges. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. One of the privileges that we have is that we may now call God our Father. Our Father. You don't need to hesitate to address God as your Father. If you are a believer in Christ, that is one of your legal rights. Yes, you can reverently call God your daddy. Abba, Father. And you can come to Him anytime, anywhere. We have that access to Him. We are entitled to have a 24-hour access to heaven, to God's throne of grace. And yes, you don't need to have a visa or passport to come to God. Now, some people cannot just come to Canada or to the US. You will need to have a passport. You will need to have a visa. If you don't have it, Nope, you cannot enter this country. Well, when it comes to our God in Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can approach God anytime, anywhere. What a blessing that is. Isn't it a wonderful blessing? Now imagine, think of this. What if you could just visit any places in the world for free? No visa, free of ride. Would you not want to take advantage of that? Visit this place and that place? Now God is saying to us, you have a free access to me because you are now a citizen of heaven. Come anytime. Do you have a problem? Are you worried this morning? Are you burdened with sin? Come to me. Come to me. That's one of your legal rights, one of your privileges, one of your blessings as a citizen of heaven. And we are also given protection as citizens of heaven. Protection from Satan. We have this assurance that yes, Satan will try to destroy the church, but he cannot destroy the church. He cannot destroy you and me. He cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Here in our country, I read this statement. The first priority of the government of Canada. First priority, think about this. First priority of the government of Canada is to protect the safety and security of Canadians, both at home and abroad. And how true that is when you translate that to our Christian life. That the first priority of God is to protect the safety and security of His people, both at home, those who are in heaven already, and abroad, those who remain here, still foreigners, pilgrims. We have safety. That's a blessing. Yes. It doesn't mean that we will not suffer. There is no guarantee that we will not experience pain. Yes, we will suffer. We will face tribulations in this world, challenges, difficulties in life. You will get sick. You will have cancer. And yes, you will face your last enemy, namely death. And yet we have this glorious, blessed assurance that all things work together for our spiritual and eternal good. What a blessing that is. And if you notice too, this truth that our citizenship is in heaven is a present reality. And that's why Paul says, look at verse 20, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, not will be, but is in heaven. It is a present reality, present tense. We are already citizens of heaven. And that's why we should live as inhabitants of heaven. When we work, whatever we do, we should remind ourselves that we're just passing through here, that this world is not our home. And so we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? You might be rich here on earth, but how about in heaven? Are you saving up, as it were? Jesus says to his followers in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Again, are written in heaven, not will be. If you are a child of God, your name is already written in heaven. As one hymn writer says, there is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I am bound for heaven. No, you know, when you travel, when you fly, they will say, okay, this plane is bound for this place or that place. Now for us believers, we are bound for heaven, never more to roam. And my question is this: is your name written down in glory? It's like, boys and girls, when your teacher makes a roll call, like the teacher will see if you are present or not. Okay, Brian Najafor, can you say present? My name is there. Is your name written in the book of life? Oh, how awful that would be. And someday, when God reads, when He reads that book of life, and He cannot find your name, you don't belong to heaven. You are not a citizen of heaven. And that's because you rejected my Son, Jesus Christ. Because you did not believe in Him. Go to hell, where you're going to experience my wrath forever. Where worms do not die, fire cannot be quenched. You are bound for hell, not for heaven. Because your name is not written down in glory, not written in the book of life. Now let's quickly move to my second point here, our comfort. Perhaps you feel so discouraged because while your citizenship is in heaven, you still sin. Well, remember, your body is not yet compatible to heaven. And yet, we have this comfort that someday we will be transformed. Look at our passage again. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. From whence, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we anticipate His coming. Jesus will come from heaven. And when He comes, what is He going to do? Look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile, corrupt body? So Jesus is going to change your body and my body, that it may be fashioned, conformed, like unto His glorious body. Imagine that. You are going to have the same body that Jesus possesses. Your body will be glorified as well. It means it will be, actually, literally, it means who will transform the body of our humiliation to its becoming conformed to the body of His glory. When Jesus comes again for the second time, He will come as our transformer, as our glorifier. He is going to glorify our corrupt, sinful bodies. And He's going to fashion our bodies to become conformed to His body. Our bodies will be perfect, will be gloriously beautiful. There's no word to fully describe this wonderful transformation of our body. And for those who have already died, they will be raised from the dead. And Jesus will do the same to those bodies. Their bodies will also be transformed. And that's why oftentimes when we think of conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, we only think of our souls. But let us not forget that our bodies will be conformed also to His body. Our souls conform to His soul, perfect. Our bodies conform to His body, perfect. I can't even begin to imagine how wonderful that will be, perfect. That means I cannot sin anymore. You know, our children sometimes would ask me, "Dad, okay, when so Jesus will return, he will change us, and then we will be living in the new heaven and new earth. Are we going to sin again?" And the answer is no, we cannot sin again. With this glorified body, we are incapable of sinning again. All the remaining sins, that flesh will be taken away. Perfect. We will live forever in perfection. See, as we wait for His second coming and our bodily resurrection, yes, we will continue to struggle with sin, with our flesh, with our remaining sin. Yes, we are legal citizens of heaven, presently citizens of heaven. But the truth remains that we still live in this corrupt body. My body is so corrupt, so inclined to sin. We still live in this corrupt world. This world has not yet experienced the transforming power of God. But we make an effort to live as citizens of heaven. You know what's interesting is, I talked about having an accent. So you come here, and even if you've been here now for 20 years, 30 years, maybe when you migrated, you were in your 20s or 30s, and you are now in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and you still have that accent, Spanish, Filipino, Dutch accent, whatever it may be. It will remain. It will stay. You will not lose that accent. It's like our sin. It will not go away, that remaining sin. And yet, in sanctification, and you see this, some people have a more milder accent than others. Some, they have a stronger accent than others. So like in sanctification, we are now all legal citizens of this country. We still have that accent. Maybe yours is milder compared to the others. That's sanctification. When the Holy Spirit grants us that rebirth, it doesn't mean that we're going to grow at the same time. No, the Bible actually talks about that. Other seeds fell on the ground or on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We make that effort. It's possible that these two Christians, they have become Christians same year.
But one, when you observe his life, he's more mature than the other one. Likewise, you have two immigrants coming from the same country who spoke the same language. And then you notice, how come that this one has a milder accent than the other? Maybe this one really made an effort, the one who has a milder accent, to really polish his speech. Maybe he went to the school. Speech power. The other one, I don't care. And unfortunately, you have a Christian like that. Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to exert an effort to mature, to grow. So you see that big difference. Big difference. And yet, that difference will disappear when Jesus comes again. We will be equally sanctified. We will be equally glorified. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. This is the future that awaits us, citizens of heaven. That when Jesus appears, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. And we thank You indeed for what awaits us, that glorious resurrection, transformation of our bodies. In the meantime, Lord, as we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ, help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh, to make an effort to have a wonderful conversation, wonderful life, a life that lives according to the constitution of Your word. Lord, forgive us. And we thank You for all the privileges, comforts that we have in the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.